Hello and welcome to Acts of Kitchen, a fortnightly podcast about food and cooking stories. My name's Alex and this fortnight I'm all about cookbooks and baking shows. Firstly, I wanted to update you about a cookbook that I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, which I got to review. It's called Palama and is a book put out by what is apparently one of the restaurants to visit in London at the moment. That is, if you can get in the door, because it apparently has a waiting list of something like 6 months. It does only seat 34 people. Anyway, the book is a lovely object. It's a hardcover, which I love. It has some really lovely photographs throughout, and it's generally set out really nicely. But I haven't loved the recipes. There have been a couple that I've liked and will make again, like the labneh kreplach cooked in borscht. That was excellent. And now that I've realised that, of course, you can freeze kreplach, although maybe not with the labneh filling, I'm pretty excited. But some of the other recipes just haven't been as interesting or as worth the amount of time they take to make. So while I wouldn't tell someone not to buy it, I'd be suggesting that they think carefully and not just be swayed by the prettiness. Two other books I've got recently are not review copies, and I actually haven't cooked anything from them yet, but I'm very excited to do so. Firstly, I bought myself a book called Pulse, because this is the United Nations Year of the Pulse, and I haven't ever really cooked that much with beans and legumes. So I'm excited about that, and I'm especially excited by the fact that almost every recipe includes a section entitled Why Not? And then lists all of the things you could do to complement the recipe or as alternatives, and I just think this is a brilliant idea. Secondly, I received a mystery parcel, which turned out to be from the Monday Morning Cooking Club. It's their second book and it's called And the Feast Goes On. And it turned out to be a birthday present from my friend Elisa. And I'm very excited about cooking from it. It too is a lovely book in terms of appearance. And just flicking through, a lot of the recipes have been sourced from Jews around Australia. And there's a huge variety of recipes from the simple to the complex to boiled bagels. Because, oh yes, I will be making bagels. So you can look forward to hearing about that. Finally, this month I've discovered a new show to watch, although there's only 7 episodes and I've seen all of them, so that makes me a bit sad. It's called Duff Till Dawn, and if you're in Australia, you have until the end of October to watch all of the episodes on the SBS catch-up service. Don't worry, they only go for about 20 minutes or so. Duff Goldman was the star of Ace of Cakes, which is a show that I simply adore quite irrationally. And in Duff Till Dawn, he gets 2 sets of cake decorators to compete against each other overnight to create an amazing cake each. Now, I don't love food competition shows, but this one is so focused on cake decorating and so lacking on that tension, dun-dun-dun thing that I really enjoyed it. Plus, it's Duff. Apparently, there is going to be a second season, so hooray for that. So my guest this fortnight is my sister, because she recently abandoned me to go to Mexico, and while she was there, she did a cooking class. This is basically her school report on what I did on my holidays. It's slightly longer than a normal episode because we kind of just kept talking, but I do hope that you'll find it interesting. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Alex.
Now, for those of you who are listening, we're very sorry if we sound too similar. I guess you can blame our mum.
We do.
Usually. Now, Catherine, at the start of this year, you went to Mexico.
I did.
And you didn't take me.
No, sorry.
One of the things you did in Mexico was you did a cooking school thingo.
Yep.
Which has become a bit of a, I guess, a tradition for you because you've done a few now, haven't you, overseas?
I have, yes. I've done cooking classes in most places. Actually, I think everywhere I've been overseas, in Singapore, Vietnam, Thailand, and now Mexico.
And what draws you to doing a cooking school somewhere?
I just like to get to know the food of the place that I'm going in a more authentic way. I think it's a really good way of learning about the people and how they actually eat on a day-to-day basis. Because if you're just eating at restaurants all the time, you're just eating fancy food.
Hmm.
If you go to a cooking school, you're more likely to cook things that people make at home.
Just for context for the listeners, cooking schools and probably travelling a bit for you is sometimes a little bit more difficult because you've got a couple of intolerances you have to take into account.
Correct, yep. So I'm gluten and dairy intolerant. So that's made travelling more interesting. But generally, I haven't had too many problems, which is really good.
Yeah, I was going to ask how, say, in Mexico, for instance, whether you found that you had to, like, did you learn the words for lactose and gluten before you went?
I tried to. I can speak a little bit of Spanish, so I tried to learn. But I also had it printed on, I bought a couple of cards that had, you know, gluten-free, please, or no flour, please, so that I could take it to restaurants, and that helped a lot.
So you did use those?
A few times, yes. But thankfully in Mexico, in especially in Mexico City, most people speak English. Mm-hmm. But in some of the smaller places, yeah, it was very helpful.
So whereabouts did you do your cooking school in Mexico?
We went to the Oaxaca Cooking School, which is in Oaxaca.
And I'm going to show my ignorance here. Is Oaxaca the state that starts with an O?
Yes, that's right.
Excellent. I know how to pronounce it.
Yes, that's what I said before I went. I was like, thank goodness I know how to pronounce it properly so I don't sound like a silly tourist. So Oaxaca is a state, but it's also the city. It's the capital of that state. And we went there after Mexico City. So I'd already been eating a little bit of Mexican food. But then I discovered in Oaxaca that every state has different food, basically.
Of course.
So what they eat in Mexico City, they don't really eat in Oaxaca, which was fascinating.
And did you already have an interest in Mexican food before you went to Mexico?
Yes. Probably started from when we were kids and we had tacos on the odd occasion, which in our case...
Australian tacos
exactly.
From a box.
Yes, tacos from a box. And
love
then
it.
I discovered that real tacos don't come out of a box. And
what?
They're a bit more interesting. I know.
What?
I know, it's terrible. They're a bit more interesting than those lovely yellow corn chip style hard tacos. Interestingly, hard tacos are an American thing.
Really?
They don't actually have hard tacos in Mexico.
It's like finding out that California rolls aren't actually Japanese. Who'd have thought?
I know, right?
So the cooking class that you did, was it an all-day affair?
It was half day. So we got picked up quite early in the morning, which was very nice because it was beautiful and cool, and taken to the central market in Oaxaca by our chef, whose name was Gerardo Pinello, and he was wonderful. So he picked us up and took us to the market, and we walked around the market for quite some time looking at all the local produce. There's so many different types of fruit and vegetables. Many of them I didn't recognise,
right,
which I was quite surprised at. But then, you know, there was a lot that I knew because they were tropical fruits and vegetables. Lots of avocados, lots of different types of avocados.
Yeah, that's an amazing thought.
Oh, it was amazing. Mangoes, all sorts of interesting things, and I discovered tuna, which is the fruit from the cactus.
How do you spell tuna?
It's tuna, T-U-N-A.
Right.
But it's the Spanish word for the fruit from the cactus. I think it's a prickly pear.
Kind of globe-like?
Yeah, and dark red on the outside. Anyway, in Spanish they call it tuna.
And do you eat it as a fruit?
You do. It's delicious. When you cut it open, it looks a bit like a dragon fruit.
Yeah.
In that it's pink on the outside and white in the middle with little tiny black seeds that you can eat. And it's a little bit soft and it's very sweet but not over the top sweet.
What sort of texture are we talking about? Like, are we talking lychee texture?
Yeah, or a bit like a lychee.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
They cut it into slices and just have it in fruit salad.
So starting off by going to the market,
yes.
Did that involve your guide, chef, kind of explaining the use of everything and
Correct.
How to pick the right things?
Correct, yep. So there was just rows and rows and rows of people selling fruit and vegetables, and he knew his vendors very well. obviously, he goes there every day, basically.
Mm.
And he will only... So, you know, he's got one guy who gets avocados from, he's got one guy he gets his herbs from, and basically just goes to them, which I thought was really interesting considering everybody sells everything. He's got specific ones that he knows have good produce. And then we went into the meat section, which I found a little bit confronting.
Lots of actual carcasses rather than neatly presented?
Correct, and all just out on benches. And, you know, chickens being plucked and...
Actually seeing the process, how confronting.
I know. It's not exactly what we're used to here.
No.
Which is often quite sterile, but there you go. Everything was very clean.
Mm.
It's just a very different way of doing things.
Mm.
Yeah. So we walked around there, picked up all our produce. He explained everything and how it was used. And that was wonderful. And then we went and got some fresh, he bought some fresh tortillas. That had been made that morning, but he also bought some masa flour so that he could make his own.
What's masa flour?
It's the ground corn that they make the tortillas out of.
Yeah. Is it only used for tortillas?
No, it's used for everything. It's the white corn that makes the beautiful fresh tortillas. And then he took us back to his house where he runs his cooking school with his mum and
That's
their
cool.
cousin. So his mum started the cooking school and his cousin works there as well. I didn't realise that it was just the two of us, my husband and I. And he was really interested to find out where we were from and talk to us about Melbourne. He hasn't been to Australia, but he's had lots of Australians go to his classes, so he really likes talking to Australians.
So mum started the cooking school a long time beforehand?
I think in about year 2000. And yep. Gerardo had been off studying cooking at the Mexican cooking school, which I guess is their equivalent of the Culinary Institute, and had been travelling around Mexico working at Michelin-starred restaurants and decided that he wanted to go home and work with his mum.
Did you meet mum?
Yes, she was amazing. Absolutely fabulous. Didn't speak much English, but was very patient with us and helped us with our Spanish, which was lovely.
So was it like going through different courses or a couple of basic things you were being taught?
We learned the basic things, obviously, tortillas and guacamole, which are the staples.
So you learned to make tortillas?
Oh, yeah. They buy the masa dough pre-made because it's quite a process to make the masa dough. It involves limestone and making
the flour or the dough?
The dough. So they use limestone to something about cutting through one of the something in the corn that is poisonous, but the limestone gets rid of it.
Okay.
So they don't make their own masa flour, they buy their masa dough from the markets and then make it at home. And it's basically just rolling it out and squashing it flat in a press and then cooking it on the big comal, which is in the case of our chef, he's got one plum doing into his main gas. It's like a flat barbecue.
Okay.
Same sort of thing you'd make crepes on, but giant. So, yeah, it's just a flat cooking surface basically, that's got gas running through it, and it's great for cooking everything. So we made tortillas and guacamole, which is super easy, and I will never eat supermarket guacamole ever again. And if I can't find ripe avocados, I just won't have guacamole. And to make proper guacamole, you have to make it in a mortar and pestle, and it has to be smooth, not chunky.
That sounds hard.
It's not, actually. It's just, I mean, avocados are already soft, so you just mush it up and with your chili and your lime and a bit of salt and some water, and it's delicious. So the idea of the class is that you make a traditional sort of four-course lunch, which starts with soup, and I discovered that Mexicans love soup. We made zucchini flour soup. So when he was telling us what we were making, he said zucchini soup, and I thought, oh, yeah, no, that sounds good. There wasn't actually any zucchini in it. It was zucchini flowers, zucchini leaves, and the stems of the zucchini plant. It was amazing. It was utterly delicious.
Did you chop up the zucchini flowers?
No, you just put them in whole.
And then did you then eat the...
Yeah. So when you're preparing it, you get rid of all the fibrous bits from the stems and the leaves and things. And then you cook it down with chicken stock. Obviously, he makes his own chicken stock. And then they just cook it down. And then as they're cooking, the zucchini flowers sort of shrivel up and wilt a bit. And so they're big enough to eat, small enough to eat. And then he made little masa dumplings. So just little balls of masa. They're cooked for a few minutes right at the end before it's served. And so that the masa sort of flavours the soup as well, but it also makes it a bit thicker. It was really light and delicate and really hearty as well and filling. I also discovered tortilla soup, but that's another story. And then we had guacamole, which goes with everything. You know, the staple is you have a bowl of guacamole and salsa and a plate of tortillas in the middle of the table. And then we made corn fungus empanadas. So corn fungus is a thing, which I didn't realise.
What's its proper name? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Because I learnt it
once. He just called it corn fungus.
Because I've had it at a Mexican restaurant here in Melbourne.
So it's the fungus that grows on the corn.
Yeah,
that's been sitting out for ages.
Isn't it almost like cheesy?
It's like mushrooms.
That's it.
It's got the texture and sort of the flavour of mushrooms. Now, I'm not a big fan of mushrooms, but my husband is, and he loved it. He cooked up the corn fungus with some garlic and some onions, a bit of chilli, and then put it in the middle of tortillas, and you flip the tortillas over into sort of a half moon shape, and it sticks together. Oh, and cheese, of course. So Oaxaca cheese is also a thing. It's soft, sort of like a fresh mozzarella. So it's stringy. It's very nice.
So it melts nicely.
Melts beautifully. So a bit of the Oaxaca cheese, and that sticks it together and make it into an empanada. I didn't really like it because I don't like the texture of cooked mushrooms, but my husband thoroughly enjoyed it. He also made a tomato salsa, which was far too hot for me because he put about 4 small chilies in it.
Into how big a salsa?
It was enough for 2 of us.
That's a lot of chili.
3 people.
What else went into the salsa?
It was basically just tomatoes and a bit of onions and lime juice.
2 important questions about the tomatoes. Did he skin them?
Ooh. No, what Good. He did was he actually put everything into a fry pan to start with a tiny bit of water so it sort of steamed, with the lid on for about 10 minutes, put it all in there, so it's garlic, tomatoes, onions, all in together to soften it all up and get rid of the, you know, the bitter taste, and then pound it up with mortar and pestle. Beautiful.
So not removing the skins and not removing the seeds either.
Yep, just
brilliant.
But they were small tomatoes, so they were, if we were doing it here, I guess you use cherry tomatoes.
Okay, so salsa, which you didn't eat very much of.
No, but my husband did. And then for the main meal, because, you know,
there See, was I'm already
cliff.
Full.
Yeah, I was totally full. And then they were like, oh, here comes a chicken. I was like, oh, he made a chicken with almond mole. And I'd never heard of this almond mole before. So mole is sauce. And that is the staple of most Mexican dishes, is some type of mole. There are hundreds of moles. But in Oaxaca, they make an almond-based mole. So this was the only thing that he had to make any adjustment to for my food needs. He said normally they put some crushed up biscuits in it.
Like sweet biscuits?
Yes, which I didn't really understand.
That's like finding out people put mayonnaise in their cakes.
I know. But he said, well, you only use like 1 or 2 biscuits, so we'll just leave it out and it'll be fine. That was the only adjustment that he had to make to anything.
That's pretty cool.
Which I was super impressed with. And it was ground almonds. To be honest, I can't really remember what else was in there. I was just so impressed with the ground almonds and the chicken stock and the lime juice. And it was just delicious. So you make the mole, you cook that down, cook the chicken separately to start with. Mm. I think he poached it.
Are we talking breasts or thighs?
It was thighs with bones in, so it stayed nice and juicy. And then to cook the chicken separately and then cooked it in the mole afterwards to crisp up the outsides a bit. And that was, I mean, I was already full, but I had to eat it because it was utterly delicious.
Yeah, for those of you who are playing along at home, this is the person that I cooked the walnut and chicken mole for.
Oh, that was so good.
Ages ago now, months ago now, but that's...
It had a similar sort of texture. So it was like a really, this is going to sound weird, a really runny but delicious peanut butter, almond butter. Savoury, so there was plenty of salt in there, so it was quite savoury, but at the same time, just a little bit of sweetness. And then for dessert, we just had really nice fresh fruit. So the tuna and mango, star fruit, which I haven't had since I was a child.
Yum.
I don't know what they call it in Spanish, but I just said, oh, it's star fruit. And fresh, just fresh sort of tropical fruits. It was beautiful. And mezcal for lunch. Why not? They sip it with their meals. They don't drink it. You know, they don't do shots with lime and salt. Well, they probably do on occasions, but generally they just sip it with their meals.
So here's one of the key questions. Mm. Have you cooked any of these things since you've been back in Australia?
Guacamole I've made.
Yep.
I've made a different type of salsa. I plan to make the almond mole. It's quite involved and takes quite a while, so it's not your standard, you know, weeknight meal. I've made other things that we've had, but no, I haven't made. I mean, I wouldn't know where to look for zucchini flowers.
It's not season yet, but
right. So maybe when it comes into season, I can find someone who's got zucchinis and I can get some zucchini flowers.
Definitely, yes.
And I've made quesadillas, not with corn fungus, with other things.
And in terms of the rest of your trip to Mexico, were there other foodie things that you found or enjoyed?
Absolutely, there was lots of things. So I was really impressed with the fact that, so I mean, apparently gluten's not a big deal in Mexico. There's right. not a lot of wheat.
There's no gluten in corn to speak of?
No, there's no gluten in corn. Gerardo was quite surprised when I told him that the current rate of food allergies in Australia is 1 in 10 children.
Yes.
I'm sure there are people in Mexico that have food allergies, but it's fairly uncommon. So he was quite surprised at that, and you know, he obviously understood that that's why he gets a lot of people that come to these classes that have food problems. They do have some wheat-based products, so they were mainly cakes and bread and breakfast pastries that were very American. I just generally had fruit for breakfast, so it was not an issue. And there was things like tortas on the street. So street food is, it's a big bread roll that they put tomato sauce and cheese and all sorts of interesting things in. But generally, I didn't have a lot of problems. Everything was corn-based. Pre-Hispanic times, the Mesoamericans generally ate, they were hunters and gatherers, so they had, you know, insects, dogs, small game, turkey was their domesticated fowl, and then they started farming, so they had corn, amaranth, and beans. Beans are a big deal, obviously.
Is that where amaranth is from?
Yeah, and tomatoes. So yum. Tomatoes originated in Mesoamerica.
As we both know from listening to Gastropod, they used to be tiny.
And they also have tomatillos, which are a completely different plant, and they're green. And they taste a little bit similar. They're delicious. So then when the Spanish came to Mexico, they introduced wheat and barley and other and sugar and fruits and other fruits and vegetables. And they banned the indigenous people from using amaranth because they had been using it in their religious rituals. And they saw it as, you know, pagans. Now everybody realises that amaranth is actually a superfood, in air quotes. But it's very high in protein, lots of different vitamins.
Doesn't it grow really easily?
And it grows really easily.
Mm, like so, millet in India.
Yes, similar. It's a very popular thing in Oaxaca. There's a lot of indigenous people still living in Oaxaca, so it's quite popular there. And I had it in alegria, which is a snack, a sweet snack. It's similar to what we get here, the little sesame.
Oh, yum. Sesame bars.
Snaps, yeah. So it's amaranth, popped amaranth, stuck together with honey or agave syrup, and it's just that, or you add sultanas and chopped up nuts. So delicious and really filling because it's really high in protein. So, yeah, very high in protein, and I found that really good because when you're walking around all day looking at, you know, touristy things and you get hungry, it's really good because it comes, you know, in just wrapped up in plastic and you can just nibble on it during the day and it keeps you going. And lots of other street food, things like nuts, candied nuts or nuts with chili and lime, all sorts of different things like that. Pumpkin seeds, big pumpkin seeds with salt.
Toasted,
absolutely beautiful. And then there was my new favourite thing.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. Chapulinas, grasshoppers, which I had heard about on Gastropod and thought, okay, I'll give it a go. Why not? They sell them on the street, again, fried up with chilli and lime and things like that. And you can get them in a little baggie and just snack on them. And they're quite tasty. The little ones I like. I wasn't quite so keen on the big ones. Little ones you
can... A bit too meaty, the big ones?
Yeah. Little ones are just crunchy and a bit like chips. We went to this wonderful restaurant in... Probably my favourite restaurant that we went to in Oaxaca. It was called the Cathedral Restaurant and Bar. And we had amazing fresh guacamole with Oaxaca cheese on top and chapulinas. We got a big bowl of guacamole and a big bowl of chapulinas and fresh hot tortillas. I could have quite easily just eaten that for dinner. So you just get some guac and some chapulinas in your tortilla. Beautiful.
You're enjoying this just a little bit too much.
Oh, it was so good. Because, I mean, it just tastes like lime and chili. But
that's almost cheating.
With a little bit of crunch. And I know there's a theory that insects are going to save the world.
According to Gastropod, that will be insects along with kelp.
Extremely easy to farm, and you can get them en masse, and they're very, very good for you. They're extremely high protein and vitamins and next to no fat. I'm a convert. I can see it happening. So then there was also tortilla soup, enchiladas, which are, you know, chicken in the middle with wrapped up in tortillas and then served with mole, black mole, which is extremely rich and decadent, and you get a whole bowl of it, but I don't know how you could eat that much of it. It's so rich. Red mole and green mole and yellow mole.
Are they all nut-based mole?
No. They're all different depending on the region, and they're usually spice-based. There was a lot of rice dishes, lots of beans, kidney beans, all sorts of different beans. Tacos, so they do have tacos, but their version of tacos is something inside a tortilla that's a taco. Tostadas, which are mini tortillas with stuff on top. And nopal, which is the cactus, the flat cactus. And they cook it down, and you could basically stir fry it, and they slice it up into small strips and then stir fry it. It's got a weird sort of slimy texture, but very, very yummy. And then there was the chocolate. So cocoa comes from Central America.
Yes.
As I'm sure everybody's aware these days. And traditionally it was a drink. And in Mexico, they still have it as a drink. And they have a chain called Maya Domo. I don't know what that means. Where they make their own chocolate paste, where it's just cocoa, a little bit of sugar, not a lot, ground up almonds and spices.
Yum.
Cinnamon and vanilla and that kind of thing. They blend it up into a paste. And then they make that with hot water or hot milk. And it's delicious. And I bought a little bit of the paste to bring home because I did a bit of research, and I found out that, yes, it's perfectly okay to bring back. And I brought some home, but I also bought some of their packaged chocolate, which is amazing as well. That's got some preservatives in it to keep it, obviously, because it's packaged, but it tastes exactly the same. So we ate all sorts of interesting things in Mexico. It was absolutely fascinating to see. Basically, what they serve in restaurants is what they serve at home, what they have at home, for the most part. They love their food. They love sharing their food. And they just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. Often they still, maybe not so much in Mexico City, but in the smaller places, they still have their siesta. They go home for lunch, or go out for lunch, and then go back to work afterwards. And then they go out after work and have dinner. It's great. It's a wonderful lifestyle.
Very civilised.
Very civilised.
And since you've come home, has anything changed in the way you've thought about food and Mexican food in Australia?
Well, yes, I no longer buy tortillas in the supermarket because...
Snob.
Because, no, it's just... Well, most of the tortillas you get in Australia are wheat-based anyway.
Yes.
I have thankfully found somewhere here in Melbourne that makes their own tortillas in a packet, which is good, and they're beautiful. So that's probably the main thing. We eat a lot more tortillas than we ever ate before.
And are you using them in place of things like rice or pasta?
Yeah, yep.
Yep. As the carb in the meal.
Yeah, yep. And as a side to a meal. I think it's changed my thoughts on food a little bit, in that I've seen how easy it is to do a lot of things from scratch. I've always liked cooking, but I've often used things out of packets and cans and whatever. But a lot of the stuff that we learnt was so simple to do just from scratch. So I've been doing a bit more of that, which is really good. And not just Mexican food, other cuisines. I guess that's the main thing. Oh, and Mexican hot chocolate, which is my new favourite thing ever.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any feedback to actsofkitchen@gmail.com. That's act as in A-C-T-S. Or you can leave a comment on the website, which is actsofkitchen.com. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes as well. Happy cooking!